If I could turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It may be said during the preaching of God's Word this morning, but I'm just going to throw it in right now. I see that you're having a faith missions conference emphasis in a couple weeks. God says that the just shall live by faith, amen? And one of the aspects is that certainly that God certainly wants your offerings and your tithes. But I learned a long time ago after being saved for 44 years now. I was saved later on in life, but I practiced it. What God said, I just said, when God said it, that settled it, amen? And one of the most important aspects of our lives as far as giving is concerned, as far as faith promise is concerned, is not this. This is a result of faith promise. But I don't have a big enough platter, but if I had an offering platter that was as big as four feet in diameter, it's stepping into that platter, amen? And I want to offer myself, God. I want to offer my life. I make a faith promise of my life to you, Lord. You see, he can do so much better than you and I can ever do. Amen? Amen. Hey, I grew up, but take charge. I from day one, training as an officer in the military and all that, I was a take charge guy. Take charge, just ram through. Amen. And then God got a hold of my heart. I got saved and I began to realize he's in command. Amen?
Amen.
Living for him. My life is a faith promise. I've already given him everything. Amen? Seriously, folks, that's what this thing is all about. The just shall live by faith. It's impossible to please God unless you live by faith. And here we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Now, the Corinthians were The first epistle we see very clearly. The Corinthian church was a carnal church. It was a wicked church. It had everything you can think of. Garbage was everywhere. Morality, the whole nine yards. It stunk in God's nostrils. But it says there in 2 Corinthians, remember how God says he rebukes them? But then he'll turn around and he said, when a person does right, when a brother does right, when a sister does right and strives to get right with God, we're not to remind them of the sin of the past, but we're to remind them of the glory that they can enjoy in heaven. Amen?
Right.
And to commend them and to encourage them. And 2 Corinthians was primarily that kind of a letter. But at the very end of that letter, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and I foretell you, as if I were present in the second time, and being absent, now I write unto them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek proof of Christ speaking in me, which is to you word, not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And then he says in verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Pretty bold statement, isn't it? Now, our ministry is a faith promise ministry. We do nothing but live by faith. We built our entire ministry, all of our property, all of our belongings, all of our buildings, everything has been paid by faith promise. We owe no one anything. Amen. And I'll guarantee you, we have striven to live by faith. And we have striven to examine ourselves. Are we living by faith? Amen? But it's more important just the Lighthouse Baptist Press Ministry that prints the Word of God all over the world. 6 of the 7 continents have been reached thus far. I throw that in a parenthetical thought just to share with you that the just shall live by faith. And we live by faith. We are a faith promise ministry. And again, we have right here, the Apostle Paul writes to us, examine yourselves whether you have been in faith. Are you living in faith? Are you living it? Or is it just a matter of words? Amen. Could you stand before God and say, yes, God, I'm living by faith? Could you honestly tell him that? That's what God wants, because God says it's impossible to please him unless we live by faith, isn't it? Amen? Now, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to give you some thoughts here concerning examining your faith. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray you just touch now, Lord, this message for your glory, for your honor, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Lord, if there's one here that does not know the hope of heaven, I pray, Lord, that they not walk out of these doors without your hope, your peace, your salvation. I pray for Christians to be strengthened and challenged, Lord, and to continue on living on for you, Lord. And we just praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, it says in Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to talk about some types, kinds of faith that are listed in the Word of God. But in Matthew chapter 8, it says in verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, and I guess I've got to come down. I don't like to hide behind the pulpit very often. As you know, many of you know that I was a former prison preacher. Amen? And I'm not afraid of you guys in the back row, okay? Amen? But look what it says right here. Look what it says right here in Matthew chapter 8. And it says right here, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, I believe with all my heart that centurion was a born-again Christian. Why would he have called him Lord? Why didn't he say Jesus of Nazareth? Huh? You don't just say Lord to anybody, amen? And he spoke it reverently. He said, Lord, my servant lieth home with sick with palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saying to them, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh to a servant, do this, and he doeth it. You see, the centurion was a man of authority himself, amen? And all he had to do is speak, jump, and they'd ask how high on the way up. Amen? And all he said was, speak the word only, Lord. Speak the word only. And in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. God speaks to you every day, amen? Amen? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Speak the word only, Lord. I'm speaking to you today. When you open your Bible up, he says, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. Do you listen? Do you believe his word? That's faith. That's living by faith. Amen. 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 Living by faith. Now let's go a little bit. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go to verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. Years ago, many years ago, when I was a young buck, when my chest was up here instead of down here, okay? I used to fish up in Alaska. Commercial fishing. Anybody know what a purse seiner is? Bunch of landlubbers. You know what a purse seiner is? Amen. I won't put you on the spot and say, what is it? But I know you know. It's a huge, huge net about the size of, I'd guess, maybe 2 or 3 football fields in circumference. And we used to go up there and fish out of Sitka, Alaska, out of Wrangell, out of Petersburg, out of Craig. You might be familiar with those up in Alaska. I was a young buck. And we would fish and we'd fish and we'd fish. And that's how we made our money to go to college. And at that time, I was at the University of Washington. It wasn't Washington State yet, but it was the University of Washington. I hate to say that. But I remember we were going, and the weather was really good. The skies were clear, everything was great. Then the wind started blowing. It blew and blew. And pretty soon it started really blowing. And then the waves started going like this. Instead of the glass, it was waves that were taller than the ceiling. They were twice the size of the ceiling. We were going down and we were coming back up again, going down. And I remember Fred File, he was a skipper. And I could see he was white knuckled, and he said, hold on! Hold on! Forget the saying! Forget the saying! Hold on! What does it say right here? Well, there arose a great tempest of the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But what does it say right here, this last part? What does it say? But he was what? Asleep. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was laying there asleep. And those guys were screaming. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, Lord, save us, we perish. They were panic-stricken. These were his disciples, fellas, folks. These were his disciples. These were his disciples. These are the ones who profess Christ as their Savior, amen, and were willing to follow him no matter what. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was a great calm. You see what happened? Here we just read about great faith. Just speak the word only and it shall be so. Amen? God, speak to me and it shall be so. Speak to my heart about faith promise and it shall be so. Oh, no, they're asking for you to make commitment for faith promise. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. There's too many storms in my life. God's not depending on you. He's dependent on him. Amen? He's depending on the fact that what he can do through you if you'll just let go and let God. Amen? What does it say right there? And the disciple came to him and spoke to him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, Oh, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. We panic too often. We pull the plug, so to speak. We panic when the worst things come in life. If God can save you from hell, he can certainly save you from the circumstances in your life as well. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now, the Apostle Paul had not been to Rome, and he was writing this letter to the Roman Christians, not to the Roman Catholic Church. That wasn't even in existence then. But he was writing these words, and he was writing them, and he says in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Walk around and look at the names of the missionaries you support. Your faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world. Amen? Throughout the Pacific Northwest. I know wherever I go, I talk about you. And he says, if your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Now Paul, he wanted to be there with him. He wanted to talk to him. He wanted to minister to him. And then he says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. What would it be like if you and maybe two of their families were in this church and everybody else wasn't here this morning? What would it be like? It'd be pretty lonesome, wouldn't it? Huh? Wouldn't it? Answer me. Wouldn't it be just pretty lonesome? It'd be kind of miserable, wouldn't it? But look what it says right here. Look what it says right here. That is, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. We're to share we're to encourage each other in the faith. Amen? And I want to give you an illustration. A couple illustrations. Some of you have heard the testimony of this first thing this morning. I'd gotten saved. I was working for a corporation at the time. I'd gotten saved, and it was about 3 weeks later. I was flying from Washington, D.C. to New York on a business trip. And I would work for this hotel corporation. I took one of the Gideon Bibles, and I carried that in my briefcase, and I'd read as much as I could. I was just saturating after I got saved, saturating my heart for God. And I would start sharing with people my salvation. And I thought, dumb me, I thought everybody else knew Christ. I thought I was just left out. But it turned out that a lot of people didn't know Christ. Most of them didn't know Christ. And I'd get turned off. I'd get discouraged. Because I start witnessing to somebody, and they kind of just shut me off. And some people would just be courteous, but you know that's all they were, being courteous. And I was getting frustrated. I'm sitting on that plane, and I'm looking at this guy, and I'm a salesman, and it's a hotel convention sales, and I'm looking at this guy, and I see he's got his lapel, he's got a fish on it. I says, wow. I started rattling my mind, Fish Association of America, Northwest Fisheries, all this. I started rattling everything I could think of. I'm going to talk to this guy because I'm a salesman, amen? And I went to start to talk to him, and I says, oh, by the way, I just happened to notice this fish on your lapel. And I says, I started rattling off all these organizations, thinking that maybe this guy was some big cheese, one of them. And I started talking to him and just started, you know, all salesmen do. And then he kind of smiled and he says, no, Tom, by that way, we're on first name basis right away. You know, salesmen do those things. We were just talking and I said, he says, no, Tom, I'm not with any fish organization. I'm with a group of men called Fishers, the men out of our church. Decked out in a suit, tie, same thing for me. He was my peer. And he started just rattling off, and he started leading me to Christ. And I was just listening. By that time, tears were welling in my eyes, and I looked at him, and I said, I've been caught already. And I told him what happened, and I had gotten saved 3 weeks before that.
Amen.
For the next hour, half an hour, 45 minutes, he just went through scripture after scripture, how he applied the gospel to his life as a businessman. You have no idea the impact that had on me. I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't afraid to tell anybody I was a born-again Christian. Matter of fact, after a while in a corporation, I was known as the quote-unquote preacher. Amen. By God. Folks, we need to share our mutual faith one with another. Amen. We need to hold each other up in prayer. Look what it says in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. One of my life verses. I have three of them. Apostle Paul said these words, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christian, that ought to be one of your life verses. That ought to be your desire. It's not my life anymore, but it's his. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. Amen?
Amen.
Tom Furze died. Tom Furze is gone. Amen? The only person that lives is Christ in me. And boy, I sure like it better that way. Because I know who Furze is, and I don't like him, but I sure love the Lord. Amen? I don't know how I can't live by faith. I know you can't, but God can.
Amen.
He gave you the faith to get saved.
That's right. Amen.
You didn't even get that. Amen. You can't claim anything for your salvation.
That's right.
He gave you the faith to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, but as a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Amen. That's what this whole Faith Promise Missions Conference is all about. I've just given it to you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. As it says right here in Ephesians chapter 2, and I gave it to you the first thing this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you have it quickened who are dead. And he's writing to Christians now. He's writing to you. Yes, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. For in a time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations at time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Grace, by grace are you saved. And in verse 8 it says, and for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. We're saved to serve. Look what it says here, not of works, lest any man should boast, but then in the very next verse, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. As we become born again, we're created unto good works, which God before ordained we should walk in them. We're to do right. We're to do good. We're to work, not for salvation, but work for his glory. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
That's good. Now, this is the faith promise emphasis. Do you have great faith or do you have little faith? Do you share your faith with one another? Do you encourage each other in the faith? It all comes down to living a faith-promised life. With your heads bowed and eyes closed.